Okay, I think I like to draw. Okay, now I'm doing painting. I'm trying out photography and then kind of going to college and just doing like a general studies of media. I think even now I'm still trying to see what I really like, and I think over the time and years I've really enjoyed very concept art, conceptual art, kind of close to some of the stuff from the exhibit. I didn't get to see some of the stuff in person, but I did get to see some of the videos.
The TBA Festival.
Yeah, the TBA Festival. And I really enjoy making art that is narrative driven,
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I think. I had a teacher my first year, I don't know what term, fall, I think fall term, for photography. Her name is Brittany Adams, or sorry, Kathy Brittany Adams. But she was a really great teacher. I don't know if she's still working at PCC, but in that class I got to make like a series of photos and add narrative to that. And that's something I still haven't showcased. I've been wanting to do that for a while, but I think it really shows the love that I have for narrative, especially because narrative is such a powerful thing, and the way you look at something can tell you so much. But then you find out it's not really what you were thinking. And then once you get that context, it really makes you think more. So yeah, it's definitely been really challenging to still find what I like, because I don't think I've explored everything yet. And I think determining the kind of artist you are is definitely a lifetime evolution.
For
For
sure.
sure.
A lot of the artists that we've interviewed, though, also, if you think about it, have like all these different forms that they're working in, and they're still like trying new things, even like people who are like twice your age or whatever, you know, like are still like trying out learning how to do a new thing. I still try to learn new things all the time. Like, you're inspiring me about sewing, actually. I'm like, oh, I really want to learn how to sew.
I also totally forgot to mention that, but yeah, that too.
But if you think about, like you mentioned, Patricia Vasquez, Patsy does filmmaking. She's a painter. She's a wonderful painter. And we went to school together for this other, totally other thing, social practice. But even so, I found out way later. I was like, oh, Patsy is like an amazing painter. And I had no idea. So it's like a lot of artists that we interviewed, and you know, Poppy Fumbe is like, he is a filmmaker, and you know, but I think, yeah, it's like the people you're attracted to are narrative, they're storytellers. I can see like that's often like what's clicking for you, Nicole.
You know, it's so funny though, like back in like middle school in Sun, I think I did like an art class or something, and like all these kids, you know, they drew this stuff, and then I drew like, I think it was like a tree or something, and like I wrote down there's like a story behind this, and like kids back then, they don't care, you know, what your background of your art is. And like it's just funny to think back, like even back then when I was younger, like I was thinking like that, thinking in like a there's a story to every picture, to every drawing, to every painting you do. And I think that that's just really funny to look back on.
That you were like, well,
But
there's a lot you need to know about this image.
there's a tree with like leaves that are from like a secret place in the woods, and like they're like they give like healing powers, and
Love a project like that, though. Some of my favorite art is the kind of thing that you can't understand just by looking at it. Like I actually, some people find that really kind of like annoying, or like it can be hard for people who like don't have the language of art. Shows like the ones at the TBA Festival to like to understand, like, oh, I have to read this statement in order to get anything out of this. And it's like, yeah, that can be kind of tedious and annoying for like the general public who's like maybe doesn't really want, sometimes people like don't really want to have to experience art in that way, like, or they're just more attracted to something that feels like visually attractive to them, and that they can like kind of look at it, take it in, and it's like a little bit more of it's just like more of a visual experience. But I love when there's actually like layers and layers, and you have to kind of know more, and you get more out of it the more that you want to dig. That's the kind of art that's interesting to me.
Yeah, for sure. I also just think back to the TBDA festival of the Jenny, Simon, and Andrew. They did like a piece in there, and it was like just very, it felt like an alternate dimension, their work that they did, which you can still check out up until October 31st.
29th? Yeah, the last day of the month. One of those days. Wait, Nicole. But, let's make a quick transition and we'll spend a couple of minutes. Any shows that you wanted to, that you went to at TBA, either online or in person? Did you go in person at all?
No, I didn't get the chance. But like I mentioned, I watched, they had like a two videos, I believe. But I think I mostly paid attention to the first one, because the second one, I didn't really understand as much until I watched the interview. Which, like you said, you know, you have to either like read or find something out in order to understand stuff. There are visuals that I feel like keep the pacing of the message that they're trying to give. So like, I wrote some stuff down. So like, uphold rules, maintain order, accept responsibility, expect accountability, you know, and talking about improving, do you have any suggestions? And then it kind of takes like a shift to like, there's something wrong. Specifically, this gathering is banned, a fire has started. And then there's just like all this like stuff that's happening, and then it goes back to that stuff of like order and accountability, and you know, we're doing this for your sake. And the piece is just basically about the protest back in Hong Kong, and you know, that's kind of the vibe that I was getting before I had read what it was about. And then once I actually did learn more about it, it was interesting to reflect back on the message that they were portraying, because once, you know, they started explaining everything started to click. It was like, oh yeah, you know, they're saying that there's this order in place and we want to hear what you have to say. And then once, you know, something chaotic is happening, something happens that's out of line, you know, people are protesting, they're speaking out, they suddenly get very like, you know, we're going to take care of this problem in our way, and we fixed it, quote unquote. And all while this is happening, you know, all these like visuals are happening, and it just very much reminded me of like an alternate universe of like just stuff like that. And I think the really interesting part as well, I can't remember who said it, but it was either Jenny or Simon, they said that some of those quotes came directly from the police in that area. So they're taking exactly what they said and putting it into this piece that they created. So I think what they created was a really powerful like piece, and if you weren't aware of the situation, I think it really makes you think a little bit more. Because I think personally for me, I don't think I was very informed about it until like I watched the piece. But yeah, it was a really great video that they made. Yeah.
Excellent. So all in all, what's your review of that piece? Did you feel like it was a good piece of art?
I think so. It was definitely kind of I would say a little mesmerizing, because you're like, I'm not entirely sure what's happening, but I'm interested. So very good piece, very well executed. I like the style that they chose it in, and everything, and yeah.
I love that. I don't know what's happening, but I want to.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. I love work that makes me feel like that. Ayana, did you, by any chance, it's okay if you didn't have time, but I just want to make sure that we give you some space if you went to any TBA stuff online or in person.
Yeah, I didn't. Sadly.
That's fine. No problem. I don't want to put you on the spot. Nicole, did you see any other stuff at TBA that you want to talk about?
Do
you want to pass the mic to Victoria?
Yeah, not that I remember. I don't think I'll do it justice because it was a while ago. But
okay. I want to thank you two for letting me do an interview with you about your feelings about art and education and things like that. So anyway, thanks for playing the game with me this time, letting me do this. So thanks, Nicole. Thanks, Ayana. Thanks, yeah. Victoria, who's coming to visit us. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll switch off and we'll have a little more discussion mm-hmm. about TBA. We have an art correspondent visiting the show this month, Victoria. Maybe do you want to say a little bit about who you are or how we know each other?
Yeah, I just make art and I enjoy anything art in Portland, especially. Me and Erica met when we were working on a project when I was in high school, which is like 2 years ago now, or 3 years ago even. And yeah, I make a lot of abstract art and I have an art series called Red Art Series. Like my art just reflects anything that I enjoy, you know, food, culture, music. It's all just a good mixture of everything. So that's what I do. And then I just work a minimum wage job and I'm also doing a side thing with my partner. We're reselling Japanese clothing. And in the future would love to own a clothing store and an art gallery in one. So just working towards all those creative goals and aspirations to.
Cool. It's nice to hear about what you've been up to lately.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And that project that we met working on together was part of the We Construct Marvels Between Monuments, I think.
Yes.
That's the correct title of, it was the year-long exhibition series at the Portland Art Museum.
It was the Not MoMA specifically.
And yeah, you did a piece for Not MoMA. And I remember being so excited to meet you and some of your friends through that project. And it's been nice to stay in touch. We also did that zine together. So that's, we've kind of periodically done some collaborations and stuff. So I'm really glad to have you on. And part of the reason that you're here is to talk about the Portland Time-Based Art Festival, mm-hmm. which is an annual festival that happens each September. PICA hosts international, national, local artists who do performance or film or installation, visual, other forms of experimental visual art. And you attended this year, and I was actually out of town the whole time. So I saw some stuff on video, but I'm really excited to hear about your experience. So what kind of things did you go see?
I went to see I just went during the gallery hours, actually, just to see what was presented in the space, mm-hmm. just the PICA building. So I kind of got to see a little bit of everything. And I mainly, just because of my working schedule, saw some online things that I think impacted me more, honestly, which is kind of weird. But I think it's just time of COVID where like you watch stuff online and it's more impactful because it's just kind of like you want to be safe. But the most impressionable thing I think that I can talk about the most that I did get to see was the really beautiful installation called The Drift by Garrick Imani and Travis Stewart. I also saw the online streaming video of it, mm-hmm. and I thought it was a really beautiful presentation on the environment and just Multnomah and like the local, just Portland, the Pacific Northwest, really. I thought it was a really beautiful video. And then going into the show and seeing the installation was insane because, I mean, you're walking through this piece that's kind of like a spiral And then once you get to sit down, you can put on this like VR. And I almost wish that I could, there's some visual pictures I can show, because it's really hard to even talk about, because it was really nice. But as you're walking through this spiral, it's kind of like, oh man, I'm really terrible at describing how nice it was visually, but it was like all painted white, and it was kind of like wood panels. And then as you're walking into this sort of spiral slash maze, there's like things on the wall as well. Like you get to see kind of like a symbol of a clock. You get to see the two, I don't even know what they're called, but you know how the clocks have the two lines? You get to see that. It's very abstract. There's no numbers. And then as you finish your way through this like little spiral maze, you get to sit down, and then there's a sculpture as well right there, and it kind of looks like it's made out of styrofoam, but it looks like an armor suit, something medieval, but also tribal at the same time, like a good mixture. And then you put on the VR once you sit down, and then it takes you, which I've never even used the VR headset, so that was a really fun experience. You put on the VR headset, and then there's a sound of fire crackling in the background, and then you're just kind of like in this hut. It's a really big hut. And there's no one there, and there's just kind of like a pit of fire. And that piece was really beautiful because I think it was reflecting, or what I've just seen the biggest theme throughout the TBA was talking a lot about the environment. And I think that whole piece was just quite, it's more of a feeling, I think. It was just to take you back into something that felt very safe and secure. But it was also reflecting some kind of history that was really important. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't even know if I did a good job describing it, but it was just really beautiful. And it felt very, like it had themes of Native history. It had themes of, it was just like environment. There's also the biggest piece of the drift was this piece of rock that was floating throughout. Like if you watch the online streaming video, there was this white kind of like comet structure that was floating throughout the video. And then as you're also walking through that spiral, you get to see visuals of people with that that rock as well. That's like white and it has a lot of holes. Yeah, I don't know. It was a really beautiful piece. And it really tied into, I think, the theme of TBA, which was something quite, like there was celebrating the ancestry of the Native people on the land, but also talking about the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you know, having a layer of something abstract happening too. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that one actually. It's really nice to hear your description. I did end up going on the last day of the show. I was able to go in and see the installations. Mm-hmm. I did get a chance to see at the end of Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Did you look at that also?
I didn't see the live performance of it, but I was able to see like the visual installation pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And those were really nice. I loved the, I think I don't want to mistake anything because there was so much that I saw and everything was obviously kind of in one space, but the Rise of, or you said at the end of the Empire,
mm-hmm.
That show, it had a really beautiful, I feel like the colors were very important, you know, there was this like really beautiful red gown. It wasn't a gown. It was like a robe more like, but it was this really beautiful piece and the colors were very important to me, very saturated, very beautiful. So I think that's what it, and there was a lot of dancing and movement and it felt very, very like celebrating history and culture. Yeah, it was very beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't see the performance either, but so yeah, it had like three video screens at kind of different angles and they were hung pretty high up in that big space.
Yeah.
It's super tall.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there it was a pretty mesmerizing installation to me. I thought that was maybe, I was really drawn to that piece. And yeah, I think it's true. The visuals, they were using color in a really specific way, because it was, even mm-hmm. though the films were very saturated, the palette was really kind of moody and dark. And then there was that one flash of just like super bright red.
Yeah.
You sort of started to talk about this a little bit, but like generally, like what did it feel like to you to be in the space?
Yeah. When I went with my partner, and when we walked in, it was just kind of like the two of us. There might have been two other people. So actually it was a very personal experience. There was no one really there to talk to us or tell us really anything. So it was quite open up for interpretation and kind of just what we saw. But we first walked in, and the space was set up. It was very dark. And then you just got to walk to each installation and see it. I really enjoyed the fact that it was a really personal experience. Sometimes I don't want anyone to talk to me when I'm looking at an art piece, because it was kind of the purpose of this whole show, for you to sit there with yourself and just kind of look at it and think about what you're experiencing, because most of the installation pieces you could listen through them, you can listen through headphones mm-hmm. with them. So I feel like you really needed that quiet, serene environment. So mm-hmm. yeah, that was the first initial experience that we got.
Is that the first time you've been to a TBA festival or to their space in person?
Yeah, that is.
It's pretty different than usual. I think before COVID, the TBA festival was so much about the collective experience of being in a space with other people.
Yeah.
And doing something with other people, that I think it's really interesting. The things that I saw felt successful to me as pieces, mm-hmm. and even though they weren't doing that, they were doing this other thing, like what you're describing, which is like providing you with this more intimate kind of experience mm-hmm. of viewing. So yeah, I definitely agree. And I was surprised. I was a little worried that it would feel sort of like it's not the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting to hear, because you haven't been before, and so this is your first, like, you aren't having to compare it to yeah. previous, which, so it's kind of nice to get a fresh perspective.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense in time of COVID as to why it was like that, but I also feel like when you have a moment, when the mood is really dark, literally, when there's not much light, and when you're getting a chance to listen, it feels like you almost need to have that really personal experience, you know, like obviously, we were greeted by the person that was working the front desk that kind of described everything to us. But after that, it was just kind of like you're on your own to look at that. And sometimes as an introvert, I really enjoyed that. I don't really need anyone to be talking to me, even though that experience is always enjoyable. But it was really nice to have kind of an open interpretation to everything, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. And then I think if we're still talking about, we were talking about the rise and fall of the empire, or at the end of the empire.
At the end of the empire, yeah, which I want to make sure that we name the artist there.
Yeah.
Maximiliano is, I know off the top of my head, and I have to look up the other, which I'll do in a sec, but yeah, did you have something else you wanted to add about that?
Yeah, I think that one was called Rise Fall? Rise X Fall? They might have had two names. The performance was called At the End of the Empire, because I'm looking at the TBA.
Okay.
I got it wrong. All of their pieces were titled under Rise and Fall. They had this really beautiful piece that almost reminded me. They were like moving images. I'm sure you've seen it. It was like in a glass. It was not in a glass case. It was in a case, kind of like. And then there was a see-through thing, and you can see the moving images. It reminded me sort of like a real life NFT.
Whoa.
I have a picture of it. I don't even know if it, yeah, I'll send it to you if anything.
Yeah, we can put it on the show page.
I think the whole, I think the whole mood of this entire thing really was kind of talking about the environment. That's just the biggest take I got. It was very much, it just felt kind of like a moment of self-reflection, to me at least.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to sit down and it's dark and you're able to look at it and have an experience with any of the pieces that were at PICA. And then you're able to think about it, and it all felt very, like the theme of this felt very about the environment.
Mm-hmm.
A way of like looking back at our history and celebrating the history, but also kind of being sad about the fact that it is destroyed. That was really what I felt looking at all the pieces.
This feeling you're talking about, the kind of like, I mean, people call it climate grief, or they're naming it this.
That's a good word for it.
And I do think that it's appropriate in this moment to have, you know, we need like joyous collective cultural experiences too. But I think like it's not that common to do the other side of that well. Like, it's hard to do something that's somber and it's like, and achieves that, giving you that feeling. Mm-hmm. These pieces, mm-hmm, this year accomplished that feeling of like capturing the mood of this moment.
Yeah. I think that's a really great word. The feeling was quite dire and somber, but not in a way that you don't want to look at the art. It was, again, it felt very self-reflection, you know, like a time for self-reflection. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that part, because I feel like you rarely get to experience that at an art gallery. You don't really get to sit there and think about it too much. I always feel like the space is too small and you feel too awkward and the lights are too bright and it's too quiet. I enjoyed that when you walked into that building and you got to see just the gallery space. It was dark, it was somber, and there was, you know, kind of this continuous sound playing, and like it kind of changed throughout time. And I feel like it was, even though it was dark, you got to sit there and think about life and just what you witnessed and how you felt, or how that made you feel.
Cool. Yeah, there isn't really quite anything like TBA in Portland, and it's I'm really glad that we have that here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a couple more minutes. Is there anything else you want to add about something you saw at TBA, or just more generally, like what it felt like to go to performances? I'm putting quotes around that, you know, on the internet or something.
Okay, yeah, I have to talk about my favorite internet performance.
Yeah, let's hear it.
It was The Rich Kids, A History of Shopping Malls in Tehran by, I don't know, I don't want to butcher the name, but I think it's Javad Alipour Company.
That's right, yeah.
I watched it on YouTube, and it was one of the more interesting pieces that I've ever experienced, because they made you go on Instagram, and as they were, because you were just, it was like a live stream on YouTube. So as you were watching this live stream, you were able to open up Instagram and kind of like follow them through the posts that they had in this Instagram page. And it was a very like storytelling as they started telling the story of the rich kids in Tehran. And then they would have a segment where it was quite abstract and futuristic, and there was noise, music, and visuals. And then they would kind of narrate a story. And they were talking a lot about climate crisis and kind of like the doom of humanity. And they were talking about capitalism and, you know, very important themes that I think that were addressed in all the gallery shows that I saw at TBA. But this was kind of like a more modern commentary about capitalism and consumerism. So I really, really enjoyed that show. I thought the presentation of it was super interesting, because it even though it was online, it felt very in person, because they were making you go through it on your phone. So it was very interactive and you couldn't really look away. And the story was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the way we use our phones is so personal. Like,
I enjoyed that, yeah. Because I never seen a show or anything where you had to like open up your phone and then go through it with them. And then they would go live on Instagram every couple of minutes too. It was almost like to keep you awake and, you know, on your phone and then doing something else on your phone, because that's so easy to do. Because, yeah, they did so much interaction that was like you were focused on that show the whole time, even though you were on your phone, you know, on your laptop watching that YouTube stream. It was really interesting.
Cool. Yeah, it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we got to sneak that one in. I edited some podcasts for Pika that Raja Feather Kelly interviewed a bunch of the artists who were part of the Creative Exchange Lab that were also a lot of them in TBA. The interview with Javad was super interesting, and I was really excited about that project. So, well, first of all, thanks for going to TBA and reporting back to us about your experience.
Yeah.
And joining us for your first visit to the podcast. Do you want to plug anything? Like, do you want to plug your Instagram handle?
Yeah, you could just find my art at Red Art Series on Instagram. It's just Red Art Series, and it's all together. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us, Victoria.
Yeah, thank you. I had a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Portland. Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy miércoles 27 de octubre del 2021.